Hello, Pisces. Welcome to your 2015 birthday reading. My name is Eric Francis, your astrologer for the next hour or so, maybe the next few years or so, here to tell you a bit about the action in the sign Pisces and all throughout the zodiac as it influences your sign. There's lots of things going on in this reading, which will be in three parts. I am going to cover that incredible new moon that spanned between Aquarius and Pisces. It was right on the line. It was one of the most unusual astronomical events I have ever seen, reading astrology, a new moon that started so close to the end of one sign that the new moon was still at its very peak as it moved into the next sign. A mere 2 minutes or so later, I'm going to cover the collection of planets in Pisces. These include Neptune, the modern ruling planet of Pisces, Chiron, a planet that is well associated with Pisces and the mutable signs and is a long-term visitor, as is Neptune, Borysici, a planet that in many ways embodies all of the themes inherent in Pisces, another slow-moving planet in your sign, and Nessus, yet another slow-moving planet in your sign. The concurrent theme here of all of these is that the slow movers have shown up in Pisces together and in force, and Pisces is a focus of activity in the zodiac right now for everyone, but especially for you. I'll also look at the role of Jupiter in your chart. Jupiter's now in Leo. It's about to change signs. Well, over the summer, it will change signs into Virgo. The relationship angle of your chart. There's also going to be a very interesting final of three, Venus conjunct Mars in Virgo in your relationship house. So in addition to lots of Pisces, there is an emphasis on Virgo, which is your relationship area. And then I'm going to look at the role of Saturn in your life, the planet that is about basically getting things done, which is now very well placed in your 10th house. I will explain what that's about. And the Uranus-Pluto square, the big scene backdrop astrology that was all the raging news in 2011 and 2012. It's been somewhat forgotten. While the sun is in Pisces this year, I believe next week, actually, I'm recording, by the way, on Monday, the 2nd of March, we will experience the last of seven Uranus-Pluto squares. Again, while the sun's in Pisces, so that gets some resonance with the sun's trip through Pisces. It's part of your solar return chart, but I'm going to talk about the long-range outlook of Uranus and Pluto in their signs. I'll do my best to translate all of this into human English for you. And if I fail to do so at any point, there is going to be a conference call associated with this reading where you can say, oh, by the way, you said you were going to put that in English, and it still sounded like astrologies. And I'm sure some other things are going to come up along the way here, but let's start with that new moon. The reason, in my mind, that this new moon was so exciting for Pisces is that the new moon began in the 12th house of your chart. The sign before one's own sign is this special region of the zodiac relative to everyone's sign. So, for example, you're a Gemini, then the one before you is Taurus. In the case of Pisces, the sign before your sign is Aquarius, and so Aquarius acts in a way like a veiled, hidden region of your life, of your chart, and so this new moon begins in this veiled world behind the scenes, and it emerges into full consciousness in your life. And so there is this sensation of movement from the unconscious to the conscious. There's a sensation of movement from somewhere that's hidden into somewhere that is available, revealed, conscious, there is a sensation of subject matter that might manifest in dreams on one day, manifesting in reality, in physical live reality, another day. In a sense, there is something very Piscean going on with this new moon. There is something about how we live in very Piscean times, where the unmanifest world, the invisible world, is every bit as important as the visible world. We do a lot of meeting in this secret dimension called the internet, this alternate reality. We are spending a lot of time communicating in these very unusual telepathic devices that we are toting around wherever we go, communicating over an invisible telecommunications network. Kind of wild. And so what this new moon highlights is the relationship between the unseen world and the world that we can look at and see for what it is. And this is a recurring theme with Pisces, and especially with Neptune in Pisces, which you might sum up as respect for the unseen, respect for the invisible, respect for what is subtle, respect for what has the ability to penetrate the line between two seemingly starkly separated aspects of reality, but when you come down to it, they're much closer than it may seem. And this is part of the life story of anyone with a strong Pisces chart, be it sun or moon or rising sign or even a concentration of planets in Pisces, that those with strong Pisces and their charts live as if they have one foot in the dream time and one foot in what is thought of as physical reality, consensus reality. And so Pisces always walks that line. Pisces is always able to tune into this alternate dimension of reality. And for those with strong Pisces in their charts, as you have, it's necessary to lead the way on respect for the invisible, respect for the unseen, for acknowledgement that not everything can be proven, especially things of a Pisces nature, which so carefully depend upon things like faith and appreciation of beauty, on subtle and intuitive levels of understanding. None of those things can be proven, and rationalists, some of whom are Pisces people in reaction against the unseen world, Pisces people need, I think, to lead the way on respect and to demonstrate to others the value of that respect. There's a reason why we would not, for example, diss and dismiss things we don't understand. And I think making friends with not understanding and making friends with the unknown is one of those things that is so essential and also potentially so overwhelming to those born with a strong Pisces chart. And so there's a calling in Pisces to make peace with the unknown and to recognize that we are part of a much larger polyverse, you might say, where in truth anything is possible, and yet to activate that can take a pretty evolved level of consciousness to be able to, you know, tap in to that potential. And I'm going to do my best to give you some tools or make aware, bring to awareness tools that already exist. So one thing we get with this new moon is the blending of Aquarius and Pisces, and that is a kind of a starting metaphor for the the life that you are living now, that there is something being called out from behind the scenes and brought forward into your waking world. And there may be many, many metaphors for that. And what's interesting is when that new moon ingressed Pisces, sun of the moon simultaneously within 2 minutes of one another, ingressed Pisces, something that I and a research assistant have not been able to find any examples of any time in recent history, probably going back centuries, does not happen, but it did. The two were conjunct a planet called Nessus, a new discovery, only 22 years old. A centaur planet, much like Chiron, one of two centaurs in Pisces right now. And let's, you know, while I am going to cover all these planets, I want to first pay some homage to Nessus and the main implication I see in this planet for you. And then we might come back to it, because I think that everything else is going to support this particular case. But with Nessus, the overriding theme is accountability. Melanie Reinhart, in her delineation of Nessus, really the first delineation of Nessus to really get it, that's often the case with Melanie, she said, oh, this is about where the buck stops. Now, the buck is not a dollar. The buck is the buckhorn in a poker game, and the buckhorn was passed around the table, and whoever got the buck would deal. So when one has the buck, one deals. And if with Nessus the buck stops here, then that means that you are the one who gets to deal. And one of the things you may be getting to deal with is a lot of collective karma from the past. Aquarius, in addition to being your 12th house, remains Aquarius. And so what may be emerging are the consequences of group actions or the consequences of things that groups have not taken care of. And the net effect may be that you are dealing with a lot of stuff that is not necessarily entirely your responsibility, but as it works out, the buck has stopped with you. Now, with the buckhorn, you can always pass the